Hello, everyone. Welcome to Padawan Limited. I am your host, Gil, today joined by two soon-to-be world travelers, cross-country backpackers, Rob and Corey. How are you guys doing?
Hello there.
Hey. Hey.
I don't know about cross-country
backpacks. Yeah, I was going to say I'm flying, so.
I don't know. You have a backpack? If you do, maybe you don't. I don't know.
We'll have a backpack.
Yeah. Oh, there you
definitely.
Go.
Got to put the swoo cards in the backpack, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, this is going to be my turn.
There's no clothes. It's just cards.
Oh,
who needs shorts or t-shirts?
That's so true. Like, literally, my backpack that I'm bringing is going to be nothing but, like, swoo stuff. So, all the recording equipment, cards, a trade binder, nothing. Mm-hmm. So if anyone out there is listening for the first time, we are going to the Galactic World Championships for Star Wars Unlimited, a trading card game. This is a Padawan Unlimited, the trading card game podcast, or one of many podcasts, I suppose, but in my opinion, the best one. And so this is a week-long event starting
Your
on Friday.
Definitive podcast.
Yeah. Well, this is starting on Friday, ending on Sunday. It's a three-day event with a variety of side events, actual events like panels. There's an artist alley of sorts. I think there's probably gonna reveal Secrets of Power stuff too.
There is a secret panel that's happening, so that's definitely
a
secrets of power panel.
Oh my god, yeah, so who knows, like, yeah. We'll see. There's a variety of collectible items that can be achieved, not just cards but also pins and bases and all types of stuff, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Some logistics before we begin. I think we're still in the middle of shipping some stuff out to everyone out there. I actually just sent out a package today to one of our listeners in the United Kingdom. Hopefully it gets to him safely. There's a lot of cards. I had a lot of bulk and also like rares and stuff that they were missing from the collection. And you know, one of the joys of our Discord is that we can coordinate to do that. So happy to help support the community in that way. And I hope if you're listening, you awesome. Do too when you can. I know that these guys do, Corey and Rob, like giving away cards all on
giving away.
Basis.
Well, really, you're helping us.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. For me, like I've gotten a lot less like cards, just numerically speaking. Because I've been buying more carbonites, less like regular boxes, but so I don't have as much trouble with set 4 or 5. But you know, I still have a lot of 1, 2, and 3. So
right, I did ship out everything from the Digi Break except for the one for Ian. I'm not sure how he says his name.
Oh,
but
that's right. I forgot to give it to you. I forgot to get that from you because I gave it. That's who I shipped to today. That's my fault. That's my fault for forgetting.
Okay.
All right.
No, I put everything together. I'm getting it out tomorrow before we leave.
Cool.
I say tomorrow, but whenever you listen to this, which is probably not, it's going to be out before, out on the delivery before you listen to this.
We are recording on Tuesday, July 22nd at 10:13 p.m. instead of our usual Wednesday night one. So this is going to be a little lagged. Because we do our releases on Thursday morning. But, you know, we got to make do because we're all traveling, like I said, tomorrow. Yeah. So talking about all these happenings, let's go on to our first segment as usual, the collection segment. Mm-hmm. Corey, you got anything new for us?
I actually do have something new. I got a pack of carbonite and I pulled Rob last week had a show off his serialized card that he pulled from a pack and he might even show off more, who knows,
but
I was like, you know, I'm gonna use the Rob inspiration, get a pack during my lunch break, and I did pull a serialized Sifo Dyas.
Nice. What number?
Which is 71 of 250.
Oh, so, okay.
There he is.
Pretty good.
He's the art I really like. It's very like anime-esque style. Mm-hmm. And they do a good job with the foiling with these serialized cards. I think they make the serialized pop a little more.
Yeah, for the kind of swirly force background ones, I like the serial treatment a lot better than I do. I like it a lot better on the serial treatment than I do on just about anything. Any of the other versions, because the serialized version, it looks really, really nice, but the other two, it's kind of
Yeah, no, the backgrounds are just a little rough, but with the Sifo-Dyas specifically, it's just got that plain wavy background, but the foiling does help. So
yeah, the foiling really well. That was the same thing with the Leia. The foiling really does help on the on that.
I'm looking forward to the Galactus because, like as you mentioned earlier, there's going to be some artists there, and I believe a couple really popular ones as cards specifically. I'm excited to get signed, so I'm going to be bringing in my prestige versions of those cards. Nice. To the Galactics to get signed, and that'll be exciting.
Do you think if you had a serialized cards of one of those artist ones, if you signed it, it would be worth more, or do you think it'd be worth less if you signed
a serialized question. Card? I wonder, because the thing is, I wonder if the character, like if it was a live action character like Leia or something, if you get the Carrie Fisher signature, obviously I'm just saying theoretically. Would that be worth more? Would that be worth more than just getting the artist mug? I would think that would be more exciting.
I think that would be too.
But with the ships, like I have all the ships I'm bringing with me, with the prestige version ships, I think those are kind of cool. I'm gonna get them signed. But I guess if there's no live action version, like Sifo-Dyas, is there a live action version of Sifo-Dyas?
No,
I don't think so.
Right. So like maybe getting the artist to sign that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Or even the designers, getting designer signatures is interesting. But I do think the live action real people characters, getting their signatures is probably the most valuable signature to get.
Yeah. Get Mark Hamill to do a Luke showcase signature.
Well, exactly.
Sick. Yep. That would be pretty cool.
You know? But Rob, you had an epic pull today as well.
So my single pack Carbonite Magic still
this box
true.
Is crazy.
apparently it's the same box, which is nuts. So I pulled a serialized from it recently, and then went back tonight, and I was expecting people to show up for last ditch kind of jam session, but nobody came, so I was like feeling kind of lame about that. So I'll just get a consolation booster pack. Or two. I got two. But the first one that I crack.
We have
the Darth Revan. And I'm getting Revan Corey reflected, but Darth Revan. Yep. Just awesome. Right out the gate. There we go.
That's the one I want. Yeah. I think I was saying off there, but like, I don't know if I'll ever play him, but I want the showcase. It's Revan.
It's interesting because I agree. I don't think he's particularly playable, but I was just kind of looking on the TCG player just to kind of see like what is he even worth, because I'm like he's not really that playable, so he's probably not going to be even that valuable. No, he's as much as some of the playable showcases. So.
It's a Legends character. That's a very popular character from a video game.
He's good. No, it's a good looking card. It's a good looking card.
It is a good looking card too.
Same artist as Paris.
I will say like I don't really love the
perspective
loss kind of like the reflective on that, because it's the same thing that happens with like the Gar Saxon one. Like the Gar Saxon ones, it's very very light, so it gets really really shiny. But it does like when you take it in like the when you kind of take it in an indirect angle, it actually does look really really nice. That was exciting. Got some just random luck on that one.
Yeah,
that's good.
I have paid luck, so I have been tracking the serialized card prices as usual, and you know, it's indicative of where the market's gonna be, like that there's a glut of new serialized cards, so generally speaking serialized card values are going down. I think the lowest one I've seen so far was a Priestesses of the Force serialized card. Somewhere in the somewhere like not a meaningful number, and it sold for under $100. It was like $90 dollars.
Under $100.
Yeah, under $100. Okay. I mean, it's not really a playable card. It's a very obscure episode/arc.
It's like a single episode. Oh, two episodes.
No, it's a small arc. Of characters. And so it was like under $100, over $90, and that's eBay prices. So I guess in the private market that would be even less. We are seeing a lot of the new serialized cards floating around the $200 range in terms of pricing. The good ones like Luke, $400. Yeah. Like the
Vader's
new Luke.
Still up there.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So it really comes down to playability and then also the
popularity.
Popularity of the character. Yeah. So that's indicative, like $400 if you pull one, that pays for your box a little bit more, actually, almost double actually now. But you know, for me, I think it's actually good for before I continue, so what I did was I went online and I got a card. I got a number 4 Oppo Ren Sisus for $175. I thought that was a pretty good value. Oppo Ren Sisus, I got it right here. It's a 3-cost double command card. It has the embossment foiling is the little circles and gold. Unlike Jump to Lightspeed, where the ships were embossed and raised, it's just like now this is like there's like lines of art that kind of emboss it. So on the
wavy force background ones, the characters are embossed.
Yeah. The characters. So there's different types of embossment, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, to me, this is actually pretty good. If we're talking about like value for collectors and such, I think for collectors, it's generally good because the barrier to entry is lower. Like imagine this game is not like Pokemon where people are like scalping everything. Like they're not
beating each other up in Costco.
yeah, which is wild to me. So like you can feasibly get like a lot of different serialized cards. I mean, again, everyone has their own means. Like I'm not telling you to go out and buy it, but like if you're getting serialized cards under $100 to maybe $400, like in comparison to other TCGs where it's like thousands or like the minimum or hundreds and hundreds, it's pretty good. It feels pretty good to be able to like get a serialized card.
Yeah, if you're looking for a specific character, like buying that character outright, like the boxes are $300. You can probably find them for $250-ish Carbonite boxes. But let's say you want to pay $100 more, like total, like $350, maybe get a Luke for that. That's a pretty good deal, I would say, because you're going to pay for a box and not probably not get that card. So
yeah,
there's it's good value in just buying the card that you want. And if you want a specific number also.
Yeah, the specific numbers. I've been like collecting numbers that I care about, like number 4, anything that's easy, like 1, 2, 3.
Round numbers. Nice too.
It's pretty
like 100 or 10 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
69.
There's always the meme numbers.
There's always the meme numbers.
Yeah.
But
66 for me.
Well, I was going to say 66 Vader is going to be worth a lot because of the lore associated.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, anything else for a collection?
We do have one more.
Yeah, tell me more.
Tell me more. So I guess we can unveil our final promo card.
Yeah, the Padawan Unlimited promo cards, which will be available to anyone who finds us at Galactics. If you so choose to get one, you could also probably. If you meet us at any event, we'll have our own card. Collect them all. There's 3 of them.
Not playable in the game.
Not playable.
Legal.
Yeah, not legal.
they do have the very, very fancy Padawan Unlimited logo on the back, though.
Yes, so it's very clear. But the front is like the same style as the cards. And so last week we revealed Corey's card. Today, my card is Gil, Relentless. I think it's Relentless Podcast Host. And it's
I think it is. Where is it? There we go.
Yeah, it's me with my dog Basil in front of a Jedi temple, looking out into the sunset. And my ability, I'm a 7-cost heroism only 1/1 unit with Sentinel. That's when played, release a podcast episode every Thursday. But this unit cannot be defeated. Just straight up can't be defeated. 7-cost 1/1 unit can't be defeated. I mean, you can capture me, I guess, but you can't be defeated.
You can waylay you.
You can waylay me, I guess. but it's 7. The significance is, I think my first pod. I'm pretty sure my first podcast episode was July 11th of last year. So
there's a good meaning there. It's
so nice. That's like the part of the meaning. And honestly, if that was a card, it would be pretty broken. Obviously, because like it's a Sentinel. You're locking out the ground. You can't be defeated. Like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, if you don't have a card to capture or waylay it, it's basically game's over.
Yeah, game's over. At least ground unit, right? Cyber Tour. That's so funny. But anyway,
it's great in the Force meta right now.
Oh yeah, heck yeah. So we're each gonna have our own card. Maybe we could add them to. Is that maybe we'll keep that as part of the bounty system for us? Like, if you find me, I'll give you a card or something. I do have a box of cards to give away. Like, whenever I meet people, like, I have that, and maybe I'll give we have stickers too. So, yeah. Anyway, cool reveal. Thank you, Rob, for helping us organize to get those printed out. I'm excited to distribute. I actually want to get my hands on one of them.
I'm holding the box right here, man. I mean, I'm putting them in my suitcase right after we finish up.
Yeah, I need to put the stickers away in my mother pack. So, all right. So there we go for collection. Let's move on. Moving on to meta. Rob, what do you have for us?
Oh, just thinking about the tournaments, man. I mean, like this week, there's been a lot of so Gil, Corey, and I all played in a little kind of prep tournament. It was one of box tournament, but it was really kind of like a local prep tournament. And you know, there's been a lot of, if you've been on the Discord, there's been a lot of discourse about, you know, what decks you think you're going to see, what are we going to do in terms of that. And so, you know, what I'll say is, in terms of meta, and probably what I would want to talk about the most, because at this point, look, we're going to be there in 2 days. If you haven't fully decided your list yet, time to get thinking about that. But like tournament prep stuff. So what do you want to do for your day of, and like and packing and all that kind of stuff. So for me, it's, you know, number one, Gil, we're going to stay up late playing games, jamming those last couple of games the night before, but we should probably get some sleep. So that's always my number one. Make sure you get a good night rest. Go in there, be fresh faced, bushy eyed.
I don't know how you get to go. I don't know how you sleep. Like, for me, I'm going to be like up. I'm going to try, obviously. Like, I'm going to try to sleep, but like, good luck, man.
My mind is going to be racing.
I'm
going to
be like, I had a dream the other day. I was like in this, you know, REM sleep, so I can kind of dream. I was kind of dreaming, and it was in the middle of the morning. I was like, oh, I woke up. I was like, oh, what happened? I was like, oh God, Cad Bane captured me.
That's a BNDCO.
No, Cad Bane like captured my units. I was like, oh no, I have no removal to like waylay. I can't get my units back. I was so scared. Oh man, this is what Swoo does to you. Or Sabine ECL, the Wrecker like line. Yeah. That's funny.
No, but you know, I mean, to be perfectly honest, like getting a good night's rest before a big tournament, particularly because we're all playing in the day one tournament, and it's going to be a long day. It's going to be minimum six rounds, because if you get to, minimum six rounds. So if you get to six wins, you get into day two. So once you get to six wins, you can drop, but that's still 6 hours of play. And then you might have to go the full distance if you drop a game here or there. It goes a full eight rounds. So that's 8 hours. It's a full day of playing. It's a full work day of playing Swoo. And believe me, you are going to be burnt after that. So, you know, getting that little bit of extra rest the night before will be very helpful. Also, bring a water bottle, guys. Drink some water, stay hydrated, have some energy snacks to like kind of keep you going, because in between rounds, you may not be able to get the, you know, run out, grab a sandwich or something. You may be kind of, you know, stuck at the table. So make sure you got something to, you know, keep that blood sugar up. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting there with the low blood sugar brain thoughts.
I think that's good advice for anyone who is trying to play this game and like win something. Because like at local store showdown, some stores have like 50 people show up. You know, some stores have four. Right. Really depends on your region and what's going on. But, you know, it is really a good idea to, like, if you can, especially if it's like a weekend or something like that, you rest up. I always bring snacks now, like you said, like maybe not like a whole sandwich, but I will have like the water bottle, drink some water after every set. After every match, I will have like chips or like M&Ms or something.
Protein bar or something.
Yeah, something to, because you don't realize how much the stress is going to affect you. I realize I have this thing called like an aura ring that like tracks my stress. So like I can see in a tournament when I'm like playing a game and when I'm not playing a game, because it goes up, it spikes up and down. But like, yeah, so Rob, your advice is really good for anyone, regardless if you're going to Galactics or not. Like if you are trying to play at a higher level, it is good. It is best practice to do these types of things for sure.
Yep. So then other things to kind of think about, that if, particularly if it's your first time in a major competitive event, make sure that your cards are not marked. This is something that's, because this is going to be such a huge tournament, and for reference, there are, I think it's 2,048 slots in the day one tournament. So you're, there are 2,000 plus people playing in this day one tournament. But for big tournaments like this, particularly because like you're probably not going to know the person you sit across from. So, you know, just trying to be on the up and up with as much of your information as possible. And one of the things that can get you flagged or DQ'd, is going to be making sure that your cards are not marked, not, you know, like even having foils can sometimes cause problems. So if you do have foil versions of cards in there, realize that that kind of like cupping that happens with them, can constitute a marked card. So it, prior to you guys getting, you know, getting on a plane, make sure you, you know, have non-foil versions of your cards, if you're worried about that. And then, also just make sure you, you know, pack your deck, right? Cause like we have to have our decks submitted by Thursday. So pack your deck ahead of time, pack all the tokens you're gonna need ahead of time. Don't be trying to scramble around in the last second, trying to slam everything into one thing. And also only have the cards that are in your deck plus your sideboard, no extra cards in your, deck pot or anything like that, because those are things that can, again, get you potentially DQ'd. So just kind of, you know, good things to think about. In terms of like getting ready to get to, you know, just before you start playing, you know, getting to the actual tournament and prepping for it.
One thing I'll say on that is the sleeves you use are also important.
Yes.
Because there are sleeves that are not legal to play with in certain tournaments and can get
like
you
what,
game loss.
Like what? Like what's an example?
Transparent
of a...
sleeves that even if they're like got that blurry, faded look to them, if you can see the card back through it, that's going to get you a potential game loss unless you can replace them. Even like sleeves that are colored, that are solid, if you can still see through it slightly, people will call you out on that, which is kind of ridiculous to me. But
is that that's a SWU thing too, or just like
I forget if that's in the rules. If it's like you can see the card back, it's potential where you can mark the cards on the back of them, and you could potentially see what they are. So anything that you can see through the back of the sleeve is illegal. So the official SWU sleeves are usually a good way to go because they're officially licensed by the SWU, you know, FFG and everything. So they can't say anything about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing to kind of watch out for, though, with that is any like custom art cards can potentially be a problem as well, because if they're particularly if it's like non-licensed Star Wars stuff, they usually aren't going to allow that. And your mats also, you should make sure you have an official mat. I don't think they're going to hit anybody for that. But if you are getting to it could potentially be a problem.
It's more about like it's. I don't think you need an official mat anymore. It's more that like you have one that's suitable for
the content of the mat.
The content is depicted on
the mat.
Like itself. If you're not going to show it to a child, or your grandmother
if
or something,
you're embarrassed to pull it out at a family event, then maybe don't bring it to a tournament either.
Yeah. I think that's more along the lines. I mean, for me, I have my Ahsoka mat from Minneapolis. That's my. You know, actually, you know what? I don't even know if I'm gonna bring a mat. I think you don't. You get one.
I'm bringing one. I'm gonna be excited to get the mats that are there. So
I do want to get a couple of the mats that are there.
I'll bring the tube, but like I feel like I'm just gonna raw dog it when I get there. Just we'll see what happens. Okay. Worst case scenario, they have no product. Which if they didn't, it's a failure for the organization.
Oh my gosh!
But like, I'm sure they'll have a ton of product, and like, they'll have game mats. I'll just get it there. I don't. Mm-hmm. I want less to pack. I like to pack light. Really. You know, I'll bring the tube with me so I can store it. You know, but I'm so good with.
No, I'm gonna have a tube with one official mat and then my custom Vader art mat. So if there is a problem, I do have something to switch it out to. So those are kind of like getting to the tournament day of, day before tournament stuff. And then just the last thing to kind of talk about that I kind of think of when I think of tournament play is being clear in your communication with your opponents. So Gil, as you have mentioned in previous podcasts, make sure you're playing against the right opponent. It is important to just confirm that the player that you're playing, that you're sitting down with, is the player that you're supposed to be playing against, because that can, you know, potentially cause game losses there. But then additionally, when you are when you're sitting down to play, be communicative. Obviously, make sure that you have tokens to tokens, dice, something to count your base health to show it. You know, per the tournament regulations, you do need to show that you're counting up. Don't forget. So I know some players will count down, and they're more comfortable that way. But official tournament regulations, you must count up from zero to the total health of your base. And then you know, make sure you have tokens to mark things. You know, tell your opponent what you're doing each turn. You know, because a lot of times, particularly when you're playing with local players and players who know your habits and what you're doing, you may just like be like, okay, maul, done. You know, and like they know, because you've played against that player so many times, you know, they all know what it does. But if you are not clear in communicating what you are doing, it could potentially cause problems. And then
I'll
lastly,
interject real quick,
yeah, go ahead.
Because don't assume your opponent is going to do something that you didn't want them to do and start doing that action also. Because I've started things where it's like, oh, I'm like, obviously this is the move he's going to do because it's the worst thing for me. And then they don't do it. And like, oh, wait. And then he's like, oh, actually, that's a better thing. I'll do that instead. And it's like, wait,
yeah. Don't give people hints.
Yeah.
So let them complete their action. And then you can, you know, be like, oh, well, here, okay, now I can do my thing. So,
yeah. Yeah, and remember that, you know, anything that is a mandatory trigger, you do have to resolve. Anything that is an optional trigger, you do not necessarily have to resolve, and also means you do not necessarily have to inform your opponent that they may have missed said optional trigger. Now, in the interest of sportsmanship, a lot of times I will say, like, hey, did you want to trigger X? I'm not going to tell them, hey, did you want to trigger X to kill this thing that's going to, you know, potentially lose me the game? But you know, I oftentimes will ask the question again. This is the way I kind of look at it is look, guys, we're all in a high pressure environment. It's going to be a long day, particularly by the end of it. We're all going to be tired and we're all going to forget things. So just be as, you know, graceful to your opponents as you would want them to be to you. Sometimes that's going to backfire. But the way I always kind of look at it is I'd rather be the person who's, you know, going in with good intentions than, you know, the guy who's trying to, like, you know, cheese his way to the top, so to speak.
Do you remember the video? I don't know if you saw this video, but when Ophir from, or Wu from KTOD won regionals, the regional competition here in the United States, the opponent who he played against was the Cad Bane Turkentown, I think, deck. And people were saying how he like cheated, like with like card shuffling and stuff. In his reaction video to that, because he was getting a lot of flack for like his play, was he was like, I was the only person to play all, I don't know, 16 rounds, you know, like, because, yeah. You know, and not that it's an excuse, but contextually speaking, I mean, someone who's playing for 2 days straight, essentially, with no breaks. Because sometimes time game goes to time. If you don't have snacks with you, if you don't have water with you, you're not taking breaks, right? You have mental fatigue, and sometimes you will make mistakes. And so, like you said, it's good to articulate what you mean as well as you can, as professionally as you can, as politely as you can, which also goes to just like life in general, not just Star Wars Unlimited, like. When you're trying to communicate, try to do it in a nice way and clear, concise, you know, thoughtful. It's always nice to communicate in that sense.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, and then just kind of lastly, and this is more of an optional thing. I have a little kind of digital sketch pad that I will, track both mine and my opponent's health on. It's just a good back check so that if you do have to call a judge, you have a record of how things kind of went down, at least from life totals. And on that note, don't be afraid to call a judge. You know, there are times where you just may misunderstand something and you may be the one who got it wrong. That's okay. Like, don't be afraid to call them over if you're just not sure about something. You know, that's what they're there for, and they're there to make sure that everything is on the up and up. And if you do suspect something that's going a little sideways, again, I always assume the best of people, but, you know, if they're not, don't let your opponent bully you into thinking that, you know, oh, this is perfectly fine. just don't be afraid. I mean, this happened to one of our friends who's a high level competitor. He kind of got bullied out of calling over a judge, and he was correct in what he was doing, and kind of backed down off of it. And it, you know, I mean, it cost him a game, but you know, it you don't want to be in that situation, and if you can avoid it. So, and that's what the judges are there for. So don't be afraid to call them over.
Yeah. I mean, if you need clarification, you need clarification, right? And also, yep. Yeah, like you said, it's always important to do that. I mean, for me, this is also one of the reasons why it's so important to have like live testing. There's a lot. There's because of the online platforms, which don't get me wrong, is good in the sense that like you get to play games that you know with people you might not normally get the opportunity to play with. But a lot of the math is done for you, right? And a lot of the moves are just automated. And so, for me, for example, with some cards, like a card that has Restore, it automatically reduces your health on your base. Like when you're playing on an online platform, hopefully you don't forget it. Like when you're actually playing, and that's where those scratch pads kind of help, because it'll help add, or so you could, you know, have the record of adding and subtracting the values. It enforces the idea that you need to track these things for accuracy.
Yep.
So I don't know. For me, it's a little bit much, but I totally get it, because I totally get why people do it.
Yep. The other thing is that I do a lot is I actually announce both mine and my my health total and the my opponent's anticipated health total after like I make an attack or something like that, just to confirm with them. So like I'll say, okay, attack and base for 3, you go to 27, you know, and like so that we both hear it, we both announced it, we make the adjustment on our life totals, and everybody's clear on what's going on, or you go to 3 or whatever it is, you know.
I think for me, in terms of tournament prep, the only thing is this courteous thing. It's not really, I don't think it's really like a hard rule, but like, dude, don't reach over and touch other people's stuff. Ask them first. People still do it to me, even if you're my friend. I don't want you touching my stuff. Like my cards, like, let me do it. Because you know what? It's just like you're manipulating the field without the other person's like input. And I think that in itself is an issue for me. Like, I don't think it's really against the rules to like touch a card, but like if you're like moving stuff or taking tokens and stuff, which people still do to me from time to time, like I know they still do, and these are people who play a lot, like it's really like you shouldn't do that. Like, communicate, let the other person touch their stuff, let them move the cards, let them put the damage tokens on. I think that's just a courtesy thing. Also it'll help resolve any tension beforehand, I think.
So, spoiler alert, if you want to tilt Gil, touch all of his shit.
Yeah, and then you get a judge called on you, and then I'll get you a game loss somehow. So
there you go.
Anyway, so anything else for Meta?
So that was kind of like the big stuff I wanted to touch on, because like again, before big tournament prep there. But you know, the only other thing I would say is you know, know the lines that you want to know. In other words, know the major players out there. So, you know, for this tournament, I think a lot of people are expecting Hantu, Hantu Blue specifically. You know, no Sabine ECL. Know like your big scary boogeyman. Basically, you're not going to know everyone, but know the big things that you're going to have to see or that you're going to see at these tournaments, and have a strategy for them. So, whatever your deck is, and whatever it does, know what you want to do to get out of it. So if you're worried about, like, you know, Hantu Blue, you're like, okay, I got to worry about a crate on 8. So if my deck is an aggro deck, it's like, okay, what's my strategy for crate? Kill them before they get to crate. You know, that might be one of your solutions. You're just like, look, I have to just burn. I don't really have long-term solutions. So I know that if I go up against a deck that's going to have bigger stuff at the end of my, than I will at the end of my deck, then I need to get them dead before they can drop any of that stuff. So just know kind of what your overall strategy is, and know, you know, the how you want to play those lines in
your deck. What your deck does and how it
yeah
does
know
it.
What your deck does, yeah.
Like, what's the purpose of my deck?
Yeah, what's my win condition? Yeah,
don't get confused with,
I'm not
like,
gonna be in a control battle with Sabine. I get that. Yeah. So
yeah,
I think that's good advice in general. Like, I'm curious though what you guys think is going to be at the end of Galactics. What's gonna come out on top?
Let's make this our third segment. Galactic Championship meta
predictions.
Or like deck predictions.
And if we can't go, I think it's all being streamed. So
yeah, like, there's FFG
be a lot of streams out there.
Different stream each day. 1, 2, 3. They have official casters that have been identified, so you're going to see that as well. Let's talk about what our predictions are. So let's start off with let's see top 64. Like what kind of decks are we going to try to see? Let's narrow it down first. Let's the top 64. Is there any decks that you don't that you think are not going to be there? Like, no, there's no way this deck's going to be in the top 64.
In top 64.
Yeah.
I mean, well, there's plenty of decks that are not going to be there.
Like, reasonably speaking, like, do you think like Bo-Katan has a chance? Like, do you think you could maybe see like a Bo-Katan at?
No.
You think it's gonna be like? I feel like very linear though. Like, so that maybe there might actually only be like a configuration of 16 leaders out of the five sets.
We might get. That's a good question. How many different leaders do we get in the top 64? Because I think we get more than
I do think we get more variety.
Think, right? So let's say 64. I'm willing to say we get at least. I mean, I'm thinking we get around 20, maybe.
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like that might be pushing it. Like in all honesty, I think 16 is probably
some jank in there.
No, you definitely can get some jank in there. Somebody was joking, like, we're totally just going to see an Akbar deck run through there. But, I mean, there is a possibility that you run into something that just kind of counters the meta and nobody's prepared for and kind of gets there.
Rob, your prediction is 16 different leaders in the top 64.
Not counting, like, different base configurations.
No, it's just
no more than
No more, yeah. Okay. How about you, Corey? What do you agree with that? Are you higher or lower?
We're 20. I think we're 20.
You're 20?
At least.
Yeah. 20. No more than 20.
I guess that's the max I'm going with.
You're on a max? I'm going to go. All right.
To go half, but like I'm not.
I'm going to say 26.
Okay. You're the highest.
26.
26.
Okay. I was like really wanted to go to 32, but I was like, there's no. I can't even name 32 that I think are competitive enough.
I think there's going to be 20. That's probably pretty high for sure. I think it's somewhere around the 20 range, but like I can't say 20. I don't want to be like The Price is Right. You're like, you say 20, I say 21. You know what I mean? Gotcha. I'm gonna say 26. It's probably gonna be in between somewhere 16 to 20 ish range, but I'm gonna say 26. That's my prediction. And the different leaders in the top 64.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go down to the top. Was it 32, right? That's the next
32
half,
would be next.
Half.
Yeah.
So let me your floor. So this top C4. I'm taking notes. We're gonna see what happens in the next episode.
Next week we gotta definitely look and see where we're at.
Top 32. How many different decks are we how many different leaders are you thinking?
Oh man, so like we gotta narrow it down. I think it's not gonna go as low as we think. I'm gonna go with 14.
14.
I was gonna say 12.
I was gonna say 12 as well. Ooh. But so 12 for Rob. If you say if you're saying 12,
you can do 13. It's fine. You can price right me.
No, I'm not gonna do that because then I'm right between you two. Like unless it's exactly 13, it's the worst one. Why would I do that? No, I'm gonna say, you know what, I'm gonna go high again. I think I was gonna say 12, but like I'll go 16. 16, so half of them are gonna be different. And I think what's gonna happen is it could be like a tail end. It's gonna be like 4 Sabines, 4 Talisons, 4 Cads, and then like a Kaz Kazuto, and then like an Akbar, you know, like these really obscure, like, what the heck, how did this make it?
One I think is going to be around for longer than we think. I think there's space for a Kaz deck.
Yeah, is it Nudo or whatever?
Data Vault. That's an interesting deck. Kaz Data Vault.
Oh really? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
All right. So let's now that we've talked to 32, let's talk about the top 16. I don't think about different decks. Let's talk about like what do we think the top 16. leaders, and then maybe we get into bases is going to be.
Okay. Well, you definitely get a Hantu, obviously.
Yeah, we're going to get a Hantu.
Hantu, easy. Hantu blue? Or what?
Hantu blue force, yeah.
Blue is the easy one. I do force. Think we have a green.
No, actually, no, they're not really running force right now. It's just a standard blue.
Well, no, they do do force. Yeah, you're still getting Kiari Mundi.
Yeah.
And okay. So
Hantu green force?
I think green force could be there. Yep.
I think so too, because they have that one card that gives a ramp for a 5. It's a 5/4. Mm-hmm. It's ramp with the thing.
Koth.
Yeah, that card's good.
It is. Okay. It's a 5/4 for 4. And they get it out like so quick. Like, they get it out same time Super Laser Tech comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild. Crazy. Yeah. So we got two Hantus, green, blue and green. I'm going to say Talzin Red Force because
Talzin Red's going to be there.
People talk about that too much, so to not have one like in the top 16. I'm going to say Sabini
Vader
Salesman,
Yellow.
Vader Yellow. You think Vader Yellow? Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I think Vader Yellow will be there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this meta is so fast, and there's so much of this meta that is ground based. Like, that thing is going to just eat some people alive because they're not going to have an answer.
Vader Yellow, Sabini. I'm saying Sabini. That bombing run is pretty critical. So we have five so far. We need.
You said Sabini ECL.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
I'm going to say, I do think.
This is going to be a Kira.
Tarkentown.
Yeah.
What? You said
Cad, Tarkentown.
Cad, Tarkentown.
Kira.
Cad, Tarkentown. Kira, what? Data Vault?
I think Kira ECL, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because.
I think Data Vault.
Vader, man. Like ECL and Vader is just.
But then why don't you just wait one more?
Enough healing.
Why don't you just wait more? Let's talk about this a little bit more. So we got Kira data. We have Kira. Now it's a matter of is it Data Vault or ECL or both? Well, do you think it'll be both?
Data Vault, my opinion.
Mm. I think
timelies are enough.
Yeah, I'm gonna split the difference. I think it's Data Vault. But I'm gonna put Rob as saying ECL. So
prove us wrong.
Yeah, man. Make us have it. Mm-hmm. So 1, 2, 3, 4.
How
five,
many
six.
Is that? Then
we have 7. We have Hantu Blue Force, Hantu Green Force, Talzin Red Force, Vader Yellow, Sabine ECL, Cat Tarkentown, Kira Data Vault / ECL. So that's 7. We need 16.
I think there's going to be some duplicates in there.
You think so?
Couple, okay. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a couple of the same deck for sure.
There's probably going to be. I think there's going to be multiple flavor.
Yeah, Anakin. Oh, but it's like multiple thousand.
Yoda Red Force.
Oh, Yoda Red.
I'm going to say is up there for sure. So that's 8. Do we think any more?
Anakin? You said Anakin.
I think Anakin's going to get it.
Which Anakin though?
Anakin 3. Whatever it is, any means necessary or whatever. The
Red Anakin, but
Red Anakin,
young.
No. But I mean, what base? Color? Blue?
I think probably on blue. I feel like there's just so many strong cards in blue right now.
Force
specifically, force.
Anakin blue force. Interesting. Okay.
Do we think a Quinlan gets there?
I'm not sure. I think the thing that Quinlan had going for him is that he was like the force throw deck prior to this, and I think there's just too many other force. The better
Ping
force
is still
there.
Ping
is still
good,
which is why I think my spicy take is I think there my gut says there might be a Maul 5 in here because that double Ping is very strong. I don't know. I mean, like I could see it going either way.
So. Quinlan Tarkentown, Maul 5, Blue Force, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
I'm not sold on Virgin's Temple, but I think it'll be a force base of Sinister.
I'm okay with the Maul 5, Blue Force. I think it's fine. Maybe I just haven't played against many great Maul Blue players.
I think Talzin Red beats it too much, my experience anyway. But it could make it.
Do we think
he's gotta fade him?
Do we think Kylo the new Kylo ECL is gonna make it. There's been a lot of play, and I think some top players are playing it.
I do think it's got I think it's got some legs. As long as you don't have power failure or bamboozle or something to just destroy them.
Or aggrieved parliamentarian.
Nobody is playing aggrieved.
I know. I'm just joking.
It's just like it. It's a cool card when you think like, oh, I can just destroy his whole plan.
His flip turn, yeah.
But like, you do it. You have to do it before he flips, obviously. And then you are wasting three slots and hopefully pull him a 2-cost 3/2 or whatever he is. I don't.
2/2
2/2 I mean, that's just not a good.
It's for one thing, against, in my opinion, for one deck. Yeah.
I do think Kylo is a strong deck. I also think Boba still.
Boba got did better.
Boba
did.
Well.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
So okay,
like he's got some good tools. I've been actually debating on whether or not I'm gonna play him because he did.
You haven't mentioned your deck yet.
Well, I'm not sure on Gar. I do think Gar is very strong. And he's so fast. Oh my god, is he fast?
Yeah. So do we think? Yeah. Before we move on to a Gar conversation, do we think? So no on Kylo, ECL. We don't think he's gonna make it.
That's a tough one, because there's a lot of good blue green.
I think that
villain players.
I think the fact that all three of us were kind of like means that it's okay. Like it's, I think, but
I just think that Kira's the better deck. Like, yeah, okay, if you get to 7 and you flip him, and then you can put like legal authority and but craving power on him. Okay, cool, but like. It's so expensive on his flip turn, like, because you have to pay for all those, you have to pay for all those.
You do it, though, and you win. Like, that's the thing, is when you flip him and you get all that, you win, essentially. Because you're removing, you're basically removing, at least, you're probably removing two cards with Craven Power, Legal Authority. You're removing two cards right there, if they're units.
Yeah.
And then you're hitting base for, who knows, 5 to 10? Like, who knows what.
So
it's nuts.
Fair enough. So we have 11. We have 11 decks, and then two honorable mentions. I'll say. So we have Hantu blue force, Hantu green force, Talzin red force, Vader yellow, Sabine ECL, Cad Tarkintown, Kira. One of the Kiras. We'll see what happens. Yoda red force, Anakin 3 blue force, Quinlan Tarkintown, Maul 5 blue force, and then two honorable mentions: Boba, Kylo.
No. The thing is, it's not going to be that spread out, right? We're going to get multiples.
This is 11 out of the 16. So yeah. I'm not going to count the honorable mentions. So like, let's say there's 11 different decks we think are going to be in the top 16. I think that's pretty good representation across various like sets, right? That would be really good to see. Do we think of the top 16, which one? Do you think is going to make it to the top 4? I'm going to skip 8 because that's like, let's go to the top 4. What do we think the top 4 is going to be?
I think people are teching for it. I don't think he gets top 4. I think he gets top 8, but I think he's knocked out in the top 8. And we get different decks in the top
What beats
4.
It, though? What beats him?
What beats him?
Yeah, like you said. That's
the question. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think there's a good answer there. And I think if you have, like, because it's going to come down to skill, right? Like, like really, at the end of the day, that's what you hope, right? It's not bad matchup, good matchup. It's like it's skill, and I think people who are skilled I think people who are skilled at running Hantu blue are going to be skilled into unfavorable matchups.
I think,
and that has a way to it has the solutions to dig you out.
I think it's going to be Hantu green. Actually, if there's going to be Hantu, it's going to be the green.
I was going to say,
in the top 4. That's my
green
opinion.
Might make it
because Hunt. And here's what I mean. So, like, yes, you don't get all the removals like Shatterpoint or Chirrut or whatever. Like, or Chirrut is a Sentinel. Then other removals like Shatterpoint or whatever. But like. The difference between green is that, like, you have that Eeth Koth, right? So you get ramp.
And you're ramping.
You get ramp. You get a big body up front. You get Kelleran, who gives you wider boards. You also get U-wing reinforcement if you so decide, which if you so decide, you get a lot more. Yoda just crushes. You get the new Yoda. Like, you get a lot of different other tools that I think will catch more people by surprise because everyone is on the Hantu blue high, you know? That's my opinion. I think I agree with you. There's gonna be a Hantu somewhere. Mm. Now, is it blue?
It's no way that's not. It's just too good. Maybe we'll just
stick with Hantu and we won't talk about the base. And be like, all right, let's just come to, because I could see the merits of both sides. You know, I could see the merits of both sides.
I mean,
sure.
Luke is still great removal.
Yeah, I mean, you get Luke,
and then he's just stealing you for three every time.
Yeah, and you have his father.
Ogdo-Bogdo is ridiculous.
Ogdo-Bogdo is bonkers. Like, to drop him on one for
you
could
have
5-3.
Even
like,
Internet Warrior, whatever.
The new Plo.
itinerant Warrior, yeah.
The new Plo. With the grit, like, he hits for 8. You drop him one turn early. If you don't do anything with him, he attacks, generates force, turns on grit, he's hitting your base for 8.
Yeah. No, I mean, both those decks are just have great cards. and they're coming out earlier than your cards are.
Yeah. Hantu,
maybe.
Okay.
Oh, maybe a Tarkin Town deck can do something.
Do we think, okay, speaking of Tarkin Town, so we've come to agreement, maybe Hantu. We don't know what the leader is going to be or what the base is going to be, but it's going to be Hantu.
Yeah. So definitely Han. You're right.
Tarkin Town.
I will concede that.
You said Tarkin Town. Or you think it's going to be like...
it's probably Cad.
If it's going to be Cad? One, it's probably Cad, I think.
Cad's
got
represent?
So many tools. Yeah, Cad got a lot of tools set.
Yeah, the Underworld Bounty Hunter stuff is good, and McClunky is really strong.
Still, and also people like gravitate towards aggro at the beginning of new set anyway, so like everyone's figuring their stuff out, then Cad and
Bazine turn one take away their force throw, and then McClunky their turn one play, it's like, and then do it again.
It's like pretty redonkulous. Okay, so we have a Cad, Tarkin Town, Hantu. I'm honestly, you know, I think that we're gonna see Talzin make it.
Top four.
Top four. Talzin.
Top four. Talzin.
Do we think that's gonna happen? Yeah. I just feel like everyone keeps talking about it. There's gonna be
the removal is so good in that.
Yeah, like, it's strong,
and it's kind of not. I'm gonna say easy to pick up and play, but the tournament you talked about earlier in the podcast, I put together a Talzin red deck the day of, and didn't play a single match of it, and then almost won the box. With that deck, so it is very strong.
That's wild. So Talzin red, we thinking, not green or yellow.
Yeah, I think red is. I mean, force throw is just crazy, and force lightning just kills anything you want, and that comes out late.
Yeah. Okay, so that's 3 of the 4. What do we think is going to take the last slot in the top 4?
Hantu again.
Two Hantus.
No, I think there's
Han
probably
one
two
at all. No, like, I should have been thinking
about Han one, but I think Hantu is better.
No,
in this meta,
I don't think there's gonna be two. I don't think there's gonna be two Hantus. I don't think it's that dominant. It's not like Django, which was so dominant that like it just kept winning. You know what I mean? Like force throw is the card of the set. Whatever that you know. But like
it is definitely the card of on everyone's minds.
But like. The Hantus are going to get cannibalized for sure, you know, and I just don't think two of them are going to make it to the end, you know. I think
you don't think we're going to have like,
are we going to get an aggro deck like a Vader or Sabine?
I don't think you're going to get Sabine. I don't think you're going to get those two either. I think they're going to block out a top 16, and then you get to like the elite players, and unless the draws are bad, like they're going to have the game plan to address those two decks, unless it's a deck that's like was hoping to scoop it, like dodge it the entire time, because that happens, right? But I don't think you're gonna get either Sabine ECL or Vader yellow. Top 8 maybe, probably top 16. I don't think top 4. But if you say aggro, what's an aggro deck that could?
My only thought here, Gil, though, is that again, like all the decks we're talking about are heavily ground based. With the exception of maybe Cad Tarkin Town, but even there, it's still pretty ground based. There's a chance Vader Yellow could sneak in there, just because
there's
like
a lot of things that can deal with space, though. There's a lot of... CAD can deal with space.
CAD can deal with space. But, like, I could see it, like, specifically against, like, Han 2 in general, like, he doesn't really have a lot of space solutions. So, like, he could just get run through by
Vader Yellow. Or throw and Shatterpoint.
Yeah, yes, you gotta have them, you gotta draw them, and you know, I you're always gonna have the Force for a Shatterpoint. I don't disagree, but
yeah,
you're so wide.
So, I think maybe if we really,
I want four different decks.
I can agree. Leaders. I can agree that maybe if it's an aggro, it's a Sabine ECL.
Ugh. I think she gets run through by Han too.
I think she does, but I think Sabine has performed in every single major tournament, regardless of what we said.
It'd be poetic if she could win this thing.
You know, like she's
never
she's
bad.
Top eight at everything. She's a Sabine Data Vault won a regional or Skektor qualifier. Mm-hmm. Like it's consistently up there. I feel like we downplay it now that I think about it. Like why? Like until something tells me it doesn't, like Sabine ECL, even at recent at other tournaments recently, has still like gotten near the top. You know what I mean? So I think to me that's probably gonna be my last of the top four. But you guys, you guys tie break? I guess
I like the Sabine there because again, it's one of those decks that's been around forever and. People who know it really well and play and can play it well. And it's always somebody who's just like comes out and it's like, how is Sabine getting this far? It's like every single tournament, they always see a Sabine, like no matter what, it's consistent. So yep. I could definitely see that. And like I said, it would be an interesting, it'd be like poetic to see Sabine just like never been bad, no matter what. New sets, keywords, new like traits, whatever, I mean, just always there.
even in our testing today, like against Talzin, like I was playing. I hadn't played Sabine in a long time. I still took like how many games did we play? Like a handful. Yeah, I still like was up.
I think you took you took it more than I did for sure.
And I didn't. And I was misplaying. I was like, oh, why'd I resource this? Why'd I do that? Like. Yeah. You know, it's super forgiving. Okay. Last couple minutes. Let's go into who do you think is gonna take it all?
Like leader or player?
Leader. I don't care about players. Oh, I mean I care about players, but I'm just like like
I mean, you will know. I mean that's even harder. Like we're talking about this is
So if we go
Palpatine with Palpatine takes it all, finally
the Galactic Amp champion. It would be so wild if the Galactic Champion was the Emperor. Like I would just go bonkers. Like so fitting.
Get either Chancellor or whatever. But yeah. No,
So we have our bracket of top four. It's Han 2, Cat Darkatown, Talzin Red, Sabine ECL.
All right. I think it depends on who the matchups
like
are.
The seeding.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see this.
But I think Talzin wins. I think Talzin wins.
You think Talzin wins? Talzin.
Yep,
I'm gonna put this quarry. So Talzin Red.
Talzin Red.
Talzin Red wins it all. All right. How about you, Rob? And if
split.
Actually. You're split.
Say Han too. Just go with
because here's the thing. I think Cad actually has a very good matchup into Han too. Cad could
That's
take
what I'm
it.
Saying. It depends on the matchups.
You think Cad?
I think Cad could take it.
Cad, you know, Cad also does pretty well against Sabine. Can hold his own.
Yeah.
So okay,
and then
has the answers against all three of the other ones, or not answers, but it has a game against all three of the other ones. Whereas some of them, I think if you get Sabine into Talzin,
I think with Cat, it definitely comes down to skill draws, obviously. But
yeah, okay. Well, then I'm gonna say something different, and I'll just
Sabine ECL because.
He's switching back. Sabine.
Who am I kidding? Why would I go against the data? Why would I go against history? Like Sabine has dominated forever. Like this, and you know the queen takes it all, and then she rotates out into the sunset. in her masterpiece and just goes away. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, her masterpiece will continue on, but she won't.
Yeah, her masterpiece will continue
for one more set. Okay, so now that we have predictions, it'll be really funny to see what happens. Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you for that the conversation. Fun. Appreciate you all. And until next week, we'll see if
until next week.
If all works out.
We'll find-
until next time, may the force be with you, everybody.